Book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, there before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your power and your grace. We asked you, God, to reach down and touch this house. Lord, minister to us today and make us, God, to live in your presence. For God, I believe and trust in you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, Hey, I'm glad to see you here this morning. Glory. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject that's simply entitled, What to Do When the Brook Dries Up. What to do when God's provision seems to fail. I'll be honest with you, church. Elijah lives on a roller coaster. Here's a guy that loved God, prayed to God, was able to say the word, and God shut up the heavens and it don't rain. He goes to say the word, God gives him the word, and it starts raining again. This guy's got it going. I mean, he stands up for God when everybody else is giving up. He gets in a fight with the enemy and slays a bunch of them on his own. Amen. He's my kind of preacher. He's one of them guys that'll get up there and get with it. But you notice something. He goes from that great high to a very bottom most of the time. I mean, all of a sudden, he's under a tree in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings going, God, kill me. It's all messed up. I'm ready to go. So you see, church, every once in a while, it's all right if we get in a little state of depression because things ain't going the way we think they ought to. But we got to always remember there's still something on the other side of the mountain we ain't seen yet. And all of a sudden, God come down and said, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Get over the Horeb. Amen. And you know, I get tickled. I got some folks talk about, oh, yeah, he took him to the mountaintop. You better study that because Horeb means desolation. He took him from desperation and depression to total desolation. Amen. Because he understood you ain't low enough yet for me to use you for what I want to use you for. But oh, church, if you get to that place where you understand what God's talking about and you find that cave where God is, even there's a God that's going to take you over into the valley. He's going to teach you, let you bring up somebody in your way, and then he's going to catch you up in a whirlwind and take you into glory. Hallelujah. Amen. But now, church, let me talk to you today about what happened when the brook dries up. I mean, here's Elijah. He's doing what God said do. You know, I would to God these TV preachers knew what they're talking about. When they tell you if you live right, you ain't never going to have a problem. You're never going to have a trial. You'll never get sick. I mean, everything's just going to be joy and peace. Hi, church, I've been living for God for 35, 36 years now. And the one thing I've learned is trouble comes. Hello? Problems are going to happen. Ain't none of us immune to having trouble. And you know what? The Bible does prophesy and tell us of that. It said the things that are accomplished in the world are going to be accomplished among the brethren. I don't know why these guys that are preaching this stuff on TV can't read their Bible. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, here this guy is. He's in the will of God. He done exactly what God said do. He pronounced judgment on the world. How many of you understand if God's judgments fall, no matter how good you live in, you're going to get caught in some of it? He said, it ain't going to rain. If a drought hits and lasts for 3 years, sooner or later, it's going to affect you. Hello? Oh, God told him, he said, now that you've told him what to do, you go down by Cherith and you stay there. And this dude's got it made down by Cherith. I mean, he gets thirsty, leans over, gets him a drink of good cool water out of that creek. And some of y'all may be old enough to remember when you could drink out of creeks. I remember running in the woods. We didn't carry water with us back in them days. You just found your creek and took a drink out of it. Didn't think nothing about it. If it's a little muddy, just get the water back. Go on about your business. You didn't have to worry about parasites, nothing like that. Hello? You know, now we drink such pristine water, we get just a little bit of water, got something in it, we dead. And you know, the thing about this, he's sitting there, he's got water, and notice this, he's got these birds coming by, bringing him a quarter pounder with cheese. Well, let's leave the cheese off. It's just meat and bread. Hey, I might come up with one of these new fasts. You know, you got your Daniel fast that fellow preached about, where you had everybody just eating vegetables. Truth of the matter was, Daniel only ate green vegetables. So if you're going to go on a Daniel fast, turnip greens and collards is your bet. Glory. Hello? But that was a challenge. It wasn't even a fast. He was just challenging the man. I can prove that with Scripture. But now I might come up with this. I'm going on an Elijah fast. I'm going to eat hamburgers and drink water. That's what he eat. He eat meat and bread for breakfast and for dinner. Amen. Drink water out of the brook. Things are going good. And this is Ken Stroop's supposition, but I ain't a doubt in my mind them ravens were stealing that stuff out of the kitchen over there at the king's place. Glory. Ravens steal stuff. They don't go get it. They're scavengers. So I can see them bringing that sandwich out from up there at the king's place. They fixing the king a sandwich and the raven come out and get some. Let me take that over to Elijah. Glory. Hello? You say, preacher, you couldn't prove that. No, I can't, but you can't disprove it. But I can tell you this. God said those things that have been turned over to the wicked are soon going to come back to the righteous. Amen. And he may have been the only one got good food, but God knew where the good food was. That was at the king's kitchen, and he'll feed you the best when you'll live for it. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. And man, he's got it going. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden, one day, his own words caught up with him. Because he rolled over to get some water one morning and there ain't no water in the brook because it ain't rained in 3 years and the brook dried up. Now, church, everybody said, oh, God, what are you going to do about this? You can't eat a hamburger without water. I mean, I'm sure the ravens are still coming by with food. He's going, hey, you can't eat without water. Where's the water? And so all of a sudden he's there. You know, that's what we do. God will be blessing us. And all of a sudden something happened. Our blessings stop and we go griping. The children of Israel did the same thing. They got manna. One day they said, well, I'm tired of eating manna. So he sent them some quail by and had them die just as they went over. Glory. So they could cook some quail. I mean, we do the same things. We get a drought of fishes and we'll be upset because we got to clean them. Glory. Look at me, church, and smile. I had one guy actually got upset because he got a raise on his job. And he said, my God, I got my raise. I took the taxes out and I'm making less money. Glory. He forgot to specify to God, let it be somewhere where they won't tax it to death. Glory. But you know, church, all of a sudden he's sitting there, the brook dries up. Now, he very easily could have just sat there and griped and went on about it. But you know what? All of a sudden he began to realize trouble's going to come. It doesn't matter how much God's blessing you. You can be riding on the mountaintop one day and trouble's going to happen. You say, preacher, prove it. Job chapter 14. Job said this, man that is born of woman is few in days and full of trouble. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I was born of a woman. Any of y'all wasn't, raise your hand. We got something special going on here. Oh, because ain't nobody ever walked on the face of this earth that wasn't born of a woman except two people. And God made them by his own hand. Everybody else has been born of a woman. Hello? That's good preaching, Strew. Amen. Now, church, that means we're going to have trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For we would not, brethren, have you be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. All of a sudden, Paul turns around and one of the six things he says is important for you to understand. You're going to have trouble. Six different times Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, meaning this is important. Pay attention. One of them, he said, well, you're going to have some trouble every once in a while. So we got to understand we're going to have trouble. Lamentations 1:21, they have heard that I sigh. There is none to comfort me. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that thou hast done it. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. No matter what some preachers say, trouble is going to happen. Somebody said, well, preacher, I ain't had no trouble. It's coming. Glory. Amen. Just understand, I ain't even a prophet, and I can tell you that. Amen. You say, preacher, well, you speak it, it's going to happen. I got news for you, honey. You can sit there and be dumb and silent, and it's still going to happen because the world's turning, and the days are going by, and things are going to happen. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. If that's the case, why do I want to live right? Because I've got a God who's going to be with me in the trouble. And no, I get in a storm, he's in the boat with me. No matter what goes on, he's going to be with me. And as long as God is with me, there is hope that I can make it out the other side. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh. There'll be times when the brook dries up and the provision of God seems to stop. Number one, we must learn to trust the Lord. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen to this. Nahum 1 and 7. For the Lord is good in a stronghold in the day of trouble, for he knoweth them that trust in him. Oh, church, see, it's one thing to go to church. It's another to be able to trust God. Amen. We used to have an old saying, when you get to the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on to it. If you're a Christian, let go of the stinking rope. You're trusting in the wrong thing. You've got to learn how to trust in God, and he ain't a rope. Come on, church. Come on. Oh, smile at me. Some of you going, oh, brother. Some of y'all been holding on to the dollar so long George has gone cross-eyed because you think that's your only hope is that dollar. I got news for you, honey. When that dollar's gone, God is still on the throne, and God is still able to do unto us anything we need to have done. Oh. See, I'm getting some looks right now like, preacher, you're crazy. You're talking to somebody that lived without a guarantee for 35 years. I used to get tickled by I live on fixed income. Mine was unfixed. I mean, there was weeks I actually paid them for preaching. I don't even want to see what some of y'all are thinking right now. Hey, some of them going, well, you ought to pay us. I can see the look on your face. Oh. But the truth of the matter is, I remember when I went and preached place, because see, I had a problem in I couldn't turn somebody down. I didn't think I was so good I couldn't go nowhere. And if a man said, I need revival, I found a way to go there and preach for them. And there are a lot of times I felt so bad about the preacher, I just hand him the offering and leave, and I'd spent the money, didn't make nothing. And you're saying, well, preacher, what's that? You want me to pat you on the back? No, I'm just telling you that for a while there, I worried and wondered about how I was going to make it. And then one day I woke up and realized I've got a God that has put food in my table and put clothes on my back, and it doesn't matter anymore. I know he is going to do it, and because of that, I am going to trust in the Lord, and I'm going to believe in him. Could you say amen? Psalms 4 verse 5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Psalms 4 and 5, or Psalm 56 and 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Why? Because I'm trusted in God. I've turned loose of the rope. I'm not worried about the rope disappearing or rotting. I got a God that's not going to change. I got a God who's not going to take his hand away from me as long as I'm trusting in him. Could you say amen? Oh, church, y'all know what the central verse of the entire scriptures are? Oh, I got it right here. If you find out, you go 494 verses into the Bible, there's a verse. You go 490 verses after it. You know what you're going to find? Psalms 118 and 8. You know what it says? It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's the dead center verse of the Bible. That's the central theme of everything God says, is put your trust in me and quit worrying about everybody else. Amen. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, as far as the Psalms are concerned, is Psalms 37. Fret not thyself over evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they shall wither like the green herb. But trust in the Lord and do good, and so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Amen. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and it shall bring forth thy righteousness in the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Did you hear what he said? Quit worrying about all these people that ain't living right, just doing good. Just trust in God and say, it doesn't matter what I got down here, I've got God, and in God I'm going to make it. It doesn't matter what happens today, tomorrow, the next day, I've got a God going to bring me out. Could you say amen? Woo! Got to hurry. Some of y'all trusting the food's going to get cold. Number two, we must come to realize that God's provision is more than what we can see. Isaiah said, Isaiah 43:19, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? But I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know what God just said? He said, I'm going to do stuff you don't know about. Amen. Church, some of y'all, God can provide your needs like you ain't never seen them yet, because you're looking at a bank account that's broke, and he's sitting there going, but I ain't broke. Glory. Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of y'all sitting there say, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, I've been broke, busted, disgusted. I mean, you know, I told somebody one time I ain't been totally broke, but I've been badly bent a bunch of times. Glory. Huh? I used to live on a premise. Some of y'all have heard this story. I used to live on the premise, God's going to take care of me. One Wednesday night, I shared this while I was teaching in here. Well, I think I had the class together, so some of y'all may have heard this story. But I went to preach a revival for a guy, and let's face it, I preach for him every year. If he calls me right now, some of y'all are going to miss me, because if he calls and said, I need you to preach me a revival, I'm going to figure out a way to preach for him. And I don't preach revivals much anymore because I'm a pastor. But this guy gave me revival when nobody else would. Y'all supposed to amen that. He earned the right to call me in the middle of the night and tell me anything he wants to, because I remember my first revival. He showed up, helped me with a funeral of a lady I prayed for and died while I was praying for her. And we'll be praying for some of y'all in a little bit. Glory. I can joke about that now, but I was 19 years old, laid a hand on a lady. She fell dead while I was praying for her. I ain't talking about she died later. They come with the coroner's book and took her out. Family asked me to help with the funeral. I had a hard time with that. But the guy showed up to help with a funeral and invited me to come preach a revival for him. And I preached a two-week meeting for him, and I preached every year, sometimes twice a year in his church. I remember we had it set up first of every year. I preached a revival for him. And then he'd call me sometime in the middle of the year and said, the Lord just told me to get you. And he called me one year in June. He said, God told me to get you for a revival, son. He always wanted me to come the first week of the month because he had a lot of older folks and their check came in. Y'all may not understand that, but the offerings wouldn't be more than about $250 for the week. And I had to drive 150-something miles one way to the revival. And he called me. The only thing I had open was the last week of the month of June. He said, man, my folks ain't going to have no money. You know that. I said, well, that's all I got open. He said, well, God sent me to get you. Come on. I said, I'll be there. I piled up, went down there and preached. And he had a couple of young couples that showed up in the church that hadn't never been there before. And he leaned over on Friday night and he said, I'm going to try to get you 300. And I'm like, well, hey, that's about normal. Glory. And I wasn't being facetious. I would never said a word to him about what the offerings was. But I'm sitting there in my mind and I'm like you. I'm just as human as anybody else. I'm thinking about that $1,000 I got to pay on Monday because my 10 days of grace runs out on my insurance. Y'all understand what that means? It means Tuesday I ain't got no more insurance if I don't come up with $1,000. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I can't just reach up and jake that out of the air. Some of y'all might just, you know, fall back on something. I didn't have nothing to fall back on. We were so messed up, we had to hold my wife. Matter of fact, I think she won a door prize at a meeting at work, so my kids had money to buy food that week at school, pay them for their lunches. We was that bad off. I mean, I was going down there and back on a charge card. He got up that night, took up the offering. After church, he come by me, and I'll never forget, there was a man sitting in the back of the church. I'd never seen him before, and I'd been there probably 15, 20 times. Now, he stuck out. He come in with a big cowboy hat on, had cowboy boots on, had a suit, a cowboy suit on, one of them with the markings on the thing, had one of them little slip ties, you know, the cowboys wear. I wanted to run out and see if he'd come in a buggy. He's sitting back there while I'm preaching, and preacher gets through, and he come by me. We had a pretty good altar service, and we had a couple got saved that night. He come by me, he said, the offer's a little more than I thought it was, and he handed me a check for $500-something. I about turned to flip. This is almost double what I normally get. You know, and I'm sitting there going, whoa! And inside me, something's going, it ain't enough. You don't get paid again. You got to have $1,000 come Monday. The old fellow walked by, the hat on the cowboy suit, shook my hand. He said, you done all right, preacher. Said, you back in there, I might come see you again. He went on out the door. Pastor come by me after church. He said, you need to go with me. We're going to go get something to eat, but we're going to go by the clerk's house. Went by the house, and this lady that's clerk at that church, had been there for 20-something years as a clerk, she come walking out. She handed me a check. She said, I ought not give you this. I said, well, I already got one. She said, yeah, this is a different one. Somebody gave an offering just for you. And said he didn't want you to know who he was or his address because he didn't want you writing him or thanking him. He said, God sent him to give you this. It was a check for $1,000. It came from that fella I'd never met before. And he said that afternoon God spoke to him and said, drive till I tell you to stop and put this in the offering for the evangelist. And I'd never met him before. The pastor never met him before. Nobody except the clerk knew actually where he came from because it was probably on his check. But it was a check for $1,000, and I was able to pay that insurance, had the $500 to live off of. Come on, church. Some of y'all look at, oh, preacher, that don't happen. It does happen. I got a God who is able, if you'll just trust in him, to take care of us. There are things God can do for you you can never understand. Could you say amen? Oh. Listen, God speaks to the prophet, and I got to hurry. God speaks to the prophet. Listen to what he said. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. For behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. All of a sudden, the brook dries up. God says, I already got a restaurant waiting on you. Just get up and head to Zarephath. There's a widow woman over there that I'm going to bless her and you by sending you over there so she can take care of you. I got news for you, church. Some of y'all think you've gone your last leg. And I don't know. I'm not probably going any farther than this right now. But some of y'all sitting here this morning, you've been sitting all week figuring out what in the world am I going to do? How am I going to make it? It looks like everything around you is drying up. You don't know what you're going to do for tomorrow. But can I tell you, there is a God that knows something about your future that you ain't maybe even considered. And I believe right now God's got a Zarephath in front of somebody waiting on you to get up and head that way. And the word of the Lord this morning is it's time for you to get up from that dry creek and get ready to go down to Zarephath. And God's got an answer. God's got a miracle. God's got something in your way. Could you say amen? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Stand with me all over the house. Somebody said, well, preacher, you going to quit? Well, y'all might get the rest of this tonight. If you show up at 6 o'clock, I won't guarantee that. I hadn't prayed about the service tonight except just to pray God bless us. I ain't really sought him for the message. Don't worry. I got a bunch of outlines. It's just a matter of figuring out which one I need. And if y'all worried about that, you got to understand, I'd done this when I was evangelizing. I'd make outlines. I'd hear something. I'd think, I'd make a sermon. I'd even throw it off to the side. And months later, I'd find it and go, yeah, that's what I need tonight. Glory. And I still do it. I hear something, God down the road, see something. And, you know, and if y'all have not picked up yet, I can preach on a lot of things. Because I look for God and everything goes by me. Because he's there. If you look for him. But I truly believe God sent me to tell somebody this morning, your brook's dried up, but there's a Zarephath over the hill. There's something ready God's got for you. You just got to move on. Some of you have been sitting there trying to get water out of the rocks in the creek. You need to move on. You need to turn loose of what you're hanging on to and go to trust in God. Well, preacher, you got to understand, that job's all I had. Did you not have God? You got God, that job ain't the most important thing ever happened to you. Come on, church. Why? Because God's got another job somewhere. It's just a matter of you hanging on long enough for the wheel to turn. Some of y'all look at me like, preacher, you know what you're talking about. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Either what I'm telling you is true, or all of us might as well go home and forget it. Amen. We need to get back to that place where we understand real trust is when I forget about whether or not I've got a rope under me or beside me. All I know is I've got God. And as long as there is God, as long as Jesus is on the throne, as long as God is in charge, there is hope, because my God can make it come to pass if I can just believe. That's all I'm required to do. I don't have to understand him. I don't have to understand the theological makeup of him. All I've got to do is believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if I do that, he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings I cannot contain. They'll be pressed down and running over. Church, would you just raise your hands and just reverence the presence of God that I feel in this building this morning? Holy, holy God. Move on us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.